town's people. I'd like to introduce my guest today. He's calling in from the Princeton area. His name is Timothy Dugan, and he is a partner at Stark & Stark. They're a prominent law firm with offices in Princeton, Marlton, Morristown, New York, Philadelphia, and Yardley. And you can see him online at www.stark-stark-stark.com. Most people who know the name Stark know Stark & Stark because they are a very prominent law firm. As a longtime resident, actually, he is with Hunterdon County and a practicing attorney in Hunterdon and Mercer counties for more than 20 years with deep roots in the community. He's notably involved in the Lake Line issue. He's been on town to people before. I found it really intriguing, and his knowledge is so extensive that we want to have him on again today. He also serves as the chair of Stark & Stark's Condemnation and Eminent Domain Group, and he's highly experienced in representing individuals and businesses in negotiating and challenging eminent domain. And so we're going to welcome here to the show. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
It's nice to talk to you again. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in. Let's just get right to it. We have an amazing bio, which I just shared, as you heard, with our listeners out there. Let's talk about how should homeowners, let's just jump right into it, okay, respond if they're approached by representatives of Penn East Pipeline. What are the homeowners' rights? And just give us a little intro on the Penn East Pipeline for those that don't really know much about it, please.
Sure. At this point in the stage, the Federal Environmental Regulatory Commission, which is commonly known as FERC, has not issued the required certificate in order for Penn East to have the power of eminent domain or the right to come on your property. So at this stage, the Penn East people are still trying to get on various properties in order to complete surveys and studies. Those surveys and studies are required not only for the FERC application, but also to comply with requirements of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. So at this point, Penn East is still trying to complete its survey. In areas where they actually have completed surveys or they're confident going forward, they're also reaching out and acquiring voluntarily easement rights. So they are presenting offers to individuals or companies to acquire the rights voluntarily as opposed to waiting for the process to be completed and use the power of eminent domain. And we've represented numerous people that have said, no, we're not interested in negotiating or selling any easement rights. And we have represented other people that said, no, we would like to negotiate and finalize an agreement now. But at this point, the property owners really need to understand is that they do not have to allow Penn East to come on their property to survey, only if they're willing to do that. And second, there's no obligation to negotiate or sell an easement at this time.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, you came on the show about, I don't know, maybe 6 months or a year ago, and, you know, we got to actually explaining what the Penn East Pipeline is and where it is affecting, not exactly, but in Hunterdon County and Mercer. Can you just explain again what the goal is for those out there who really don't get what's going on?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that real quick?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's just a little low. I'm sorry.
Okay. What I was asking you to do is actually kind of, can you give an update to people out there who really don't understand everything about the pipeline, they don't understand what they're trying to accomplish, what it is, and why there's so much controversy to it? So give them a little update on that.
Sure. So I might give you an update of where they are in the process. As of this time, you know, the government has not approved the pipeline. Recently, as of the past week, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection did grant Penn East a water quality certification, which is a very important state approval. So they are proceeding forward in Pennsylvania. This past summer, in July, the FERC did issue what it's called an environmental impact study, but it was the draft. And that really is identifying how the pipeline impacts the environment. Since then, with pushback from various groups, they have changed the route over 33 times, and FERC has extended their review of the environmental impact for another 49 days, bringing us into March of 2017. Also recently, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection does have concerns over the completeness of the surveys that are being done by PennEast. They want actual field surveys as opposed to desktop surveys. They want PennEast to go out and really get good data over endangered species and rare plants and how this pipeline really is going to impact the environment. And a lot of the property owners that are not in favor of the pipeline are not allowing people to come on. So right now, I think the biggest controversy with the pipeline is the fact that this pipeline is going through a lot of environmentally sensitive areas. It's going through a lot of preserve farms. It's cutting across many protected waterways, the C1 waterways that we have. And there's a lot of people that believe that this pipeline is absolutely not necessary. If the pipeline was being built, so a part of the state that does not have gas is going to have gas so people can convert from either propane or oil, whatever they want, and the state's going to benefit from that, that's one thing. In this particular case, a lot of people believe that this pipeline is absolutely not necessary. And second, even if it was necessary, the harm to the environment outweighs any benefit of the pipeline. That's really at the heart of the dispute, in addition to the idea of eminent domain and having a new pipeline underneath your backyard.
Right. I want to get to that again in a second. And I wanted to ask you, though, you mentioned something interesting to me. You said that they had changed the, the direction of the pipeline 33 times. Is that what you just said over the course of this? Like, what makes it...
Yes. Yes, they've changed their route numerous times. So we've had clients come to us with one route, and then we'd meet a couple of months later, and there's a new route. So as these environmental impact studies come out and comments are made, the pipeline is trying to reroute the pipeline in order to get it approved. So, you know, they are trying to work with people, not necessarily to ease their burden, but to make sure that the pipeline gets through. So if it is going through an environmentally sensitive area and they believe there's going to be a big pushback, they may jog that route off that property, but then it goes through somebody else's property.
Right.
So anytime they move the route, I don't want to say there's a winner or a loser, but that's what ends up happening. If they move it off my property and put it on your property, I'm a little more happy and you're not.
Right.
So just because they do a route change doesn't mean it's a positive impact.
Are the studies that they're doing being done by PennEast in the pipeline, or are they by the government officials?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
The studies that you're talking about, that they're asking for the sensitive, you know, type of issues, you know, plants and so on, are those studies being completed and done by the pipeline company itself, or are they being done by the, like, state of Pennsylvania and New Jersey?
Yes, the majority of the submissions are being done by PennEast. However, there are groups that are doing their own studies to respond. So as PennEast goes forward and says, you know, this route has minimal impact on the environment, certain other groups, you know, the Sierra Club and Watershed, some of those groups are fighting back saying, no, here's the real impact of your pipeline. So FERC is getting information from both sides, as well as New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. A lot of these environmental groups have lined up their own experts and prepared their own reports and are pushing back.
Which they should, absolutely, it sounds like to me. But I'm not an attorney like you are. This is, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Tim Dugan is a partner with Stark & Stark, an attorney law firm in Princeton and the surrounding areas. It's 3:15 here on Talented People. We're going to go to our quick break. We'll be right back. Tim, thank you for sharing this information on PennEast Pipeline with us. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton, Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Sure. We had touched briefly on the right to tell Penn East that they're not permitted to do surveys. However, at this time, I think one of the things that we've been seeing is the Penn East negotiators are reaching out to many people trying to have a voluntary purchase of a right-of-way or easement. What a right-of-way or easement is it gives the Penn East the ability to put the pipe into the ground and come back out and repair and maintain the pipeline as needed. When they do that, they need to have an agreement with you called a right-of-way agreement, which is really an easement. And it's very important to understand what's in that easement. For example, it does give them the right to come back and put a second pipeline in. It restricts what you can put over the pipeline area, including trees, including structures, that you may want to put in your backyard. That can have a very significant impact on your plans in the future. In addition, not all of the pipelines are going underground, so it's very important to understand what Penn East wants to do on your property. For example, sometimes we'll have what are called launchers or pig launchers, and these are above-ground pipes that they want to put on your property that a pipeline comes in underground, goes above ground, will get pressurized and pushed, you know, down the line. And in those situations, Penn East is not always buying the property from you. What they're doing is putting that on your property, sometimes with a large chain link fence around it, and you now have that on your property. Penn East has to maintain that and make sure it's safe, but you now have an above ground pipe.
Wait.
So it's very important to understand exactly what the plans are with your property and the exact route where that pipeline is going. For example, in Hunterdon and parts of Warren County, even Mercer County, there are areas where there's septic systems. You're not going to be able to put a septic system in the easement areas. You may have a septic system that's 20 years old, and down the road you're going to have to replace it. That pipeline may restrict where you can put your future septic system. So when Penny's comes in and offers you a certain amount of money, it's very crucial to understand that they have to pay you with the property they're taking, but also pay you for how, so if your property's been damaged for what you're keeping. So if they put a pipeline in your backyard, they have to pay you for the area where the pipeline's going, and also pay for any decrease in the value of your home that's a direct result of the pipeline. If the pipeline is close to your house, you might not be able to put a pool in. If you were able potentially to subdivide your property into two or three building lots, the location of the pipeline may prohibit you from doing that. Another issue that people have to be very careful about is how close the pipeline is going to be to the home. We have had situations where, you know, the pipeline is 40 or 50 feet from a home, and we are very concerned about whether or not the construction phase of the project would damage the integrity of a home. We've had situations where both our client and a pipeline company has retained structural engineers to look at a house before the pipeline, then come back out after the pipeline to see whether or not the construction phase impacted the home at all. Fortunately, it didn't.
Wait a second, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a question.
Some of the issues we've come across over the past year.
Can you hear me there? Because I wanted to ask you about backing up for a second to when you were talking about easements, okay? Just to clarify for the listeners out there, like, this was a long time ago that I was in real estate, but what I understand is as to what an easement was, at least at one time, was where, say you owned a property and someone walked through your property every day for like 13 or 15 years or so, and you never told them to get off the property, they could call it an easement and actually own your property. Is that what you're talking about? What is the difference between an easement when it comes to the pipeline? What's the value of that? Do they have to, like you say, you know, if someone wants to, if Penny's wants to offer you an easement, you have to understand certainly what that entails. Does that easement come with an offer of cash? And you guys, I know, are the people who are representing the consumers here for guidance. So I'm asking you about the easement. I also would like to know the difference between the eminent domain and an easement for the listeners.
Right. So what ends up happening is if the generally for most people, Penny's the one in easement, and that's the right to put the easement, the pipeline in the ground. If you will not grant that voluntarily, assuming FERC approves the process and they get all the permits, they will just take that same easement through the power of eminent domain. So generally, what they're trying to acquire now, if you will not sell, down the road, providing they get all their approvals, they will file an eminent domain complaint and take an easement right. So an eminent domain, it's not always taking your entire property. It could just be taking the right to put the pipeline in the ground. So they would be using the power of eminent domain to acquire a right-of-way or an easement, very much like a road project.
Well, right now,
it's a voluntary stage, and if you say no and they get their approval, they're going to do the same thing to eminent domain.
Well, if they come to you and ask you if you would voluntarily provide them with an easement, which makes me kind of throw up, by the way. And I do get the pipeline. I get the benefits in certain places, but I'm trying to figure out, you know, at the end of the day, who is winning here? Does the easement that's supposed to be voluntary, do you get paid for that? Like you said, you're pretty much allowing, when I hear the word voluntary and easement, my mind goes into this disconnect, because it's like, wait a second, I didn't want you here. Now I'm voluntarily giving you the opportunity to work and be on my property. What's in it for me?
Yeah, that does come with a cash offer.
But like you said, there's so many levels of consideration to it. It's to, if you say okay, you have to have an attorney's firm like yours to be able to review what you're signing, because they could be off. And then again, you just mentioned that in the middle of all of this, they've changed the direction of the route 33 times. So what happens when they come to you, offer you an easement, offer you compensation, you consult an attorney, and then they change the direction, and then now what happens? That seems a little crazy. I mean, it seems like it can happen quite a bit.
Yeah, it's generally what they've been doing is they'll send you a legal document with a number in it. So let's assume they're going to put a pipeline in your backyard and they want to make you an offer. They'll say, here's a easement agreement, a legal document, and then there will be a number. Let's assume it's $20,000. We will pay you $20,000 now to sign this agreement to give us the right to put a pipeline in your backyard. You can counter that and negotiate for a higher number. It's very important to understand what's in that agreement, what you're really giving up. And remember, you get one bite at the apple. So once you settle and you come up with that number, you can't come back down the road and say, well, I didn't know this was going to have an impact on my property. So when you sell that easement, you have to really understand how this pipeline and the easement is going to impact the value of your home when you sell it 5 or 10 years down the road. That's very important because you only get one shot at this. Mm-hmm. And it's a legal document. And the, you know, some of these negotiators can be very pushy, for lack of a better word. They are negotiators. They're fine people. This is their job. But they are trained. They are professional. They'll put pressure on you, and they will negotiate, and they will keep after you. And I think some people don't always feel they have the confidence to say, I'm not interested, or, gee, I can't get more money, or I can't afford a lawyer. And I think there are lawyers like myself and others that do these on contingency fees. So you're not coming out of pocket. And we're more than happy to take phone calls and answer preliminary questions as you go through this complicated process. But right now, the PennEast is out trying to buy a lot of easements and are putting pressure on people to try to convince them to sell the easement rights now.
Well, it's really... I mean, I can't even imagine anyone in this day and age who would try to take on the negotiation of that. And I'm not putting a plug towards Stark and Stark right now. I'm not. I'm saying to everybody out there, if you happen to be approached for this, if you don't reach out to someone like Jim or an attorney that can represent your best interests, with, you know, even on the contingency basis, like you're saying, it would just be insane. I am curious, when they do come to you and ask about this voluntary easement, you know, situation. If you are representing them, or if anyone is, and basically you're in a good negotiation, say you actually come to terms, and then you agree to it, and then they change the route, can they just null and void the contract, or do they still have to pay for running you around?
I didn't catch the last part of that, Jean.
Meaning, like, if you say that someone was approached for a voluntary easement and they consulted with you and they're like, Tim, you know, here's what I want out of it and I understand you taught me all about this, you know, certain things that I'm going to have to understand about what I'm committing to. If in the process of that you propose back to the PennEast company an agreement and it comes to terms and it's agreed upon, it's going to be $30,000, and I'm going to let you come on my property and blah, blah, blah. What if they decided to change the route before you closed the deal? Would the PennEast people be able to just null and void the contract, or would they still be responsible for that agreement because they changed the route?
Yeah, no, it's... Yep, I if they buy an easement and they pose you and they change the route, they're going to have to buy a second easement from you.
Yeah, I think that's important to know because, you know, really, this is why we're having this conversation today, to make awareness... again, that's very important to know because, so good, thank you for that. On the part about eminent domain proceedings, can you tell us, like, the likelihood or the consequences of eminent domain applying where that, say that there was, you know, the request for the voluntary easement, they did not, with your representation or not, it did not work out. Then basically, you know, the seller said, fine, going to defer it to eminent domain. Let us know when you get that approval. When they come back, is there any recourse whatsoever on behalf of the seller, or is it just eminent domain and there's no cash involved in any way, shape, or form on the back end?
Yeah, I don't think there's any, there's no downside, because if they want to use the power of eminent domain, they have to file a complaint. Generally for pipelines, they're in federal court. They go before a federal judge. and a judge appoints commissioners, and both sides get to put on their valuation case. So if the pipeline company's number is not realistic and it's too low, the property owner has an opportunity to present its own proof of value. Now, you know, there's certain things that you can't, you know, go before the commissioners and say, I don't want this, I want to fight this. Generally, when you reach a certain point where the approvals are in place and, you know, they crossed their T's and dotted their I's and they file their complaint, there are certain defenses to the taking, but they're minimal. 99% of the cases proceed on the valuation issue only. What the negotiations back and forth do not go before the commissioners. It's basically battle of the appraisers, and you need a very good appraiser, sometimes land planners or engineers, and a lawyer to really present a case to make the argument that your property's worth much less because of the pipeline. Sometimes the analysis is very tricky. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward. But, you know, it's not going to be held against you if you don't negotiate. And what we tell most of our clients, it's really an individual decision. Mm-hmm. You have to decide for yourself what's best for you. If you're a fighter and you're totally against the pipeline, don't cooperate, dig your heels in, and wait for the eminent domain complaint. Other people like certainty. They don't like this hanging over their head. They would like certainty, and they have gone forward and negotiated. So it is an individual decision, but there's absolutely no downside to saying, stay off my property and I don't want to negotiate.
Love it. Well, this is the perfect time to hold up. Let's go to news and weather. Tim Dugan is our guest here as a partner at Stark & Stark. They are a very prominent attorney firm in serving the area of Hunterdon County across the state. Stay with us right now. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. We're going to go to news and weather. We're talking about the Penn East pipeline.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Israel has no better ally than the United States. And I want to assure you, the United States has no better ally than Israel.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meeting at the White House with President Trump. President Trump actually called on Netanyahu to hold off on Israeli settlements for a while.
As far as settlements, I'd like to see you hold back on settlements for a little bit. We'll work something out, but I would like to see a deal be made. I think a deal will be made.
House Speaker Paul Ryan dismissing smear attempt by Democrats against President Trump regarding his discussing foreign policy around a dinner table with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
I don't believe that any classified information was discussed. So I think it's important that if classified information is discussed, it's discussed in what we call SCIFs. It's my understanding that no classified information was discussed, and talking about foreign policy at the dinner table is perfectly appropriate.
USA Radio News.
Don't let yesterday's accomplishments affect today. Use Blue Emu. Available in stores nationwide.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Tree.
Tree here. Just calling to say thanks for letting me crash at your place the other night. Well, on your place. It was a rough night. I had a bit too much wind, and I think I might have broke your chimney, actually. So, yeah. Any chance you'd want to drop off my tire swing? Yeah. I mean, if not, that's cool. Okay, later.
Trees won't pay for tree damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Defense Secretary James Mattis meeting with NATO counterparts. Correspondent Chris Barnes has details.
The alliance remains a fundamental bedrock for the United States and for all the transatlantic community, bonded as we are together.
Retired General James Mad Dog Mattis at his first NATO meeting since becoming the nation's Secretary of Defense.
As President Trump has stated, he has strong support for NATO.
But at that meeting of defense ministers in Brussels, Mattis also reiterated the president's calls for other member nations to pull their financial weight. I'm Chris Barnes.
Liberal feminist groups taking aim at a bill that is advancing in the Oklahoma legislature. The bill would require a woman to seek the father's permission before an abortion. The father would also have to be identified in writing by the woman before an abortion, and he would be allowed to demand a DNA test if he wanted to contest the paternity. The Oklahoma House is going to consider the measure after passing out of the House Public Health Committee. USA Radio News.
Ah, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait!
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
The annual Westminster Dog Show has named their Best in Show. Here's Sharon Reed.
The Best in Show at the 141st Annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, the German Shepherd Dog.
Rumor has it.
Rumor is a 5.5-year-old female German Shepherd from Edgerton, Wisconsin. Dog lovers saw Rumor take the top prize on Fox Sports 1. She came in second place at Westminster last year, and her handler reportedly was considering retiring the Shepherd. Rumor, named after the Adele song Rumor Has It, was among the nearly 3,000 canines competing at Madison Square Garden this year.
DEA and border agents made a very interesting discovery along the southern border. Here's Jason Campidonia.
U.S. Border Patrol agents say several people were spotted running away from the border fence which separates Douglas, Arizona from Mexico. The agents found two bundles of marijuana weighing more than 47 pounds combined, as well as a catapult system attached to the Mexico side of the border fence. The crudely made-up catapult appeared to have been made from spare parts from a junkyard, and it was dismantled by Mexican law enforcement authorities and U.S. border agents. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
People on gluten-free diets may have higher levels of mercury and arsenic in their bodies. A University of Chicago study found them in blood and urine samples of people who avoid gluten. The toxins tend to accumulate in rice, and rice products are commonly used as substitutes for ingredients containing gluten. USA Radio News.
Showers after 5 p.m., partly sunny with a high about 50. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low about 25, and then partly sunny all day with a high about 39 on Thursday, and then partly cloudy with a low about 22 on Thursday night. Mostly sunny with a high of 41 on Saturday, and then partly cloudy with a low of 25 Friday night. Saturday, mostly sunny all day with a high of 51, and then partly cloudy with a low of 36 Saturday night. Sunday, mostly sunny all day with a high of almost 60, and then partly cloudy with a low of 35. On Washington's birthday, on President's Day, on Monday, sunny with a high again of 56 and a partly cloudy low of 35. So we're getting into the warmer weather. Hope you're enjoying it. And while we're talking about the outdoors, my guest today is Tim Dugan. He's a partner with Stark & Stark, an attorney practice serving the state of New Jersey and surrounding areas. And we're talking about the Pennies Pipeline. So, Tim, could you just kind of give us a little more information about kind of like how compensation is deserved, is determined when someone is taking over the property?
The last part dropped out. You're talking about how the compensation is actually determined?
Yes.
Yes. So there's two components. The first component is how do you value the easement right? So the government is not taking the property from you. You still own it. They just want to have the right to use it, and that's called an easement. Generally, what they'll do is determine what the property would be worth, just the area they take, if they took the whole thing and said, well, we're only taking part of it, so an easement's worth 25 or 50% of the full value. So let's assume they say an acre's worth $100,000, and that equates to whatever dollar per square foot, and the easement's 1,000 square feet. Then they would determine what the full value would be and give you either 25 or 50%. So that's for the area that they're taking. And it's usually done on a land value and a percentage of the full land value, but just the area they're taking. The second part of it is the severance damage, which is how much did your home drop in value because of the pipeline. And that becomes very tricky to prove, because it's very hard to find very good sales where you have, you know, home before and after a pipeline to show what the value drop is. So we employ appraisers to come out and help us determine that value. Oftentimes, you know, the damage, if it's really at the very edge of your property and you have 3 acres and it's really far from the house, that's totally different than if you have a quarter acre lot and it's going right through your backyard near your house. That has a much larger potential of a damage. So those are the two components. The easement area, which is the percentage of what the total land would be if they took it, and then a drop in the value of your home as a direct result of the easement area.
It seems like it must have been a good time for them to get involved as projects, since real estate values are down so low. You know, it's probably really great for them to be doing this at this time, but it's not great for everybody else. Is that right?
Yes, and that's interesting, because that's happened in other projects throughout New Jersey. You know, many years ago when New Jersey School of Construction was acquiring property to build new schools, the market was on the way up, and they were paying top dollar. As the market has come down, 4 years ago would have been an ideal time to be out acquiring these rights because the property values were down.
Right.
Now that it's been a recovery and on its way up, I do think that it's a little better for the homeowners, and it's only going to get better from a compensation point of view, not for having it in your backyard.
No, not at all. I'm only saying that, yes, you're right, and at the same time.
Right, the valuation point of view, and you are going to have some very nice properties out in these rural areas, and there's also unique challenges when it goes through property that's subject to farmland assessment, or farmland preservation. So you may have sold your rights to the state, development rights, or you have preserved farms from the Hunterdon Land Trust and all these other organizations. These pipelines are going through their property.
They're not
happy with it. They're going to push back the best they can.
And then there's
going to be valuation fights there.
What is the defense to that? Like, as far as, okay, so the farmland, the preserved farmlands, there's so many in Hunterdon County. The pipeline's coming through, and what are they doing? Is the same thing going to the state and asking for a variance or a volunteer easement? Is that what they're doing? And then what is the situation with that?
Yeah, that's going to be the same way as any other easement. You're going to have to look at the – so when you sell your development rights, they record a document on your property. You're going to have to go and look at that document and look at the condemnation clause and look what the restrictions are. But even with that easement, once FERC gets the certificate and approval – or the PennEast from FERC gets the approval – gets the approval of the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection and gets all of its other approvals and builds the pipeline, they can use the power of eminent domain to still put their pipes through preserved farms and farms that have any of these conservation easements. That power of eminent domain is very strong. I don't think any of those groups at all are going to do anything voluntarily because they're out to protect these property and the environment. And I think, for the most part, they don't believe that the pipeline benefits anybody and has a detrimental impact on their property. So they're going to hold tight and push back hard. And then when the eminent domain fight comes, they're going to have to sit down with their counsel and appraisers and see what they could do.
Wow. All right, well, stand by again. It's already our 3:45 break here on, I can't even believe it's already February 15th. 3:45, stand by, sound to people. I'm talking to Tim Dugan about the pipelines.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I'm sorry, Gina, I broke out a second. I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear you now.
I just want to let you know that you have about 7 minutes left to share more about the pipeline that you think is important with our guests, so go ahead.
Sure, just one thing. I also head up our tax appeal group, and I just want to remind people that to the extent that, you know, their property values do drop, once the pipeline's in, that they should consider filing a tax appeal. The general deadline is April 1 of each year to file a real estate tax appeal in New Jersey. So to the extent that your property has been damaged and the price is lower, consider filing a tax appeal to try to lower your taxes. At this point, I think there's a lot of property owners should monitor the progress. There's a lot of sites you could go to that have very good information to keep you up to date. Penn East recently believes the pipeline's going to be up and running in 2018. I find that hard to believe. That could be possible. FERC is very Penn East is very confident that they're going to get through this FERC process, as well as get by New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection this year to start getting shovels in the ground. So you can monitor this, but to the extent that, you know, this happens on their timeline, there is a chance that if they don't negotiate now, sometime, in the summer or early fall, it could be the eminent domain process, the lawsuit. It's also very important not to be afraid of a lawsuit. If they file a complaint and they build the pipeline, the lawsuit really is how much they have to pay you. You're not being sued. They can't do anything to you. It's a matter of how much they have to pay you. If you have a lawyer, that lawyer will be there to protect you. The court oversees the process. The court is not going to allow them to be heavy-handed in anything they do. And if they do, your lawyer is going to bring them right before the judge, and the judge will not be happy with that. My experience is they have very professional people. The pipelines is very good lawyers, very good negotiators, appraisers. We disagree with them most of the time on the value, but they'll come forward and litigate and negotiate in a professional manner. Right now, those negotiators are pretty persuasive, and they will call. I don't want to say they're the same as the Dunning call from a credit card company, but they will put pressure on you and be persistent. If you don't want to negotiate, you have a right to say no. If you want to negotiate, I strongly encourage people to seek out good counsel and a good appraiser so you really can fully understand how this pipeline is going to impact your property, as well as understand what the project is. We had mentioned earlier that sometimes they will build above ground pipes. You really need to know that. It doesn't happen often, but they do have these launchers at various stages along the pipeline. And they're somewhat complicated cases. These easement agreements are complicated. They give up a lot of rights, and if they want those rights, they really have to pay for those rights. And I think, as in a summary, those are the big things that people need to know. They can say no. If they have problems, they could contact Penney's directly. They should do it in writing. If they find somebody on their property doing a survey, immediately call the police to document it. If you tell a surveyor no, do not come on my property, and they do, that is a trespass. You can call the police. We discourage self-help. You could tell them no, then proceed in the normal routes. Take photographs, document these things if you think it's happening. Short of that, I'd follow the process. The lawyers like myself, you're always free to give us a call and just ask us questions. We're more than happy to answer your questions and try to help you out in the negotiations, as well as reviewing these easements. We'll sit down with you, go through them line by line, and negotiate and get changes. Just because they prepare it and say this is what it is doesn't mean they get their way. They're not going to give you everything you want, but you can cut back some of their rights in these agreements.
And I don't believe for a second that they're going to give anything if someone wants pretty much self-representing themselves. They need to be, there's got to be someone in the middle there. I totally believe in being represented by counsel, especially, you guys, you're the experts at it. You and those that serve the pipeline, consumers from the legal standpoint. There's so much more to know. When you don't know, you don't even have any idea what kind of leverage you could possibly have. And everybody must be different, correct?
Yes, that is, and I think it's. Yeah, I mean, there. Unfortunately, in New Jersey, you do not get your legal fees paid by the government. Certain states, and we push for this. Certain states, if you get a certain percentage above what they offer you, you get your legal fee.
Wow.
Each side in New Jersey pays their own legal fees. However, we're generally successful getting you more money. So you will get your attorney fees paid that way.
Right.
If we're successful in getting you more money, which we generally are, no promises, but we generally are, that is how you'll pay for the review of these documents. But you really need to know what's in there, because down the road, when you sell your home, that easement's going to come up in a title search, and the buyer's lawyer is going to look at it, and that buyer's lawyer is going to sit down with his client and say, this is what this easement means. You should know that now before you settle. It may have a minimal impact, or it may have a substantial impact, depending where it is and what rights you've given up.
It's very, very interesting. Thank you so much for being on the show again, Tim. We appreciate the insights that you share with us today from Stark & Stark. Tim Dugan, can you tell everybody out there what's the best way to get in touch with you if they wanted to follow up on this with you directly?
Sure. My telephone number is 609-895-7353. My email is dug@stark-stark.com. And all this information is on our website at stark-stark.com. And you also can follow, we have a blog posting at njlaw.blog that we try to publish and keep people updated on what their rights are in various areas of the law, including eminent domain. And you always could get the links, our direct lines, and our email addresses off our website.
Great. Well, Tim, thank you again so much for everybody over there at Stark & Stark and for yourself for taking time to talk to us today. I hope you have a great day.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.